The first way to mobilize the power of the Spirit is brokenness. Because in brokenness, brokenness is actually a state of self-realization that in yourself you are nothing. You may have a momentary advantage. Maybe you spoke eloquently and they made you a head boy in secondary school. Life is beyond being a head boy. Maybe you had a high IQ and you came first from primary 1 to primary 6. You came first from just 1 to SS 3. You came top in your class and made the first class. Life is beyond the first class. Maybe you had connections with men. Life is beyond connection. If you have seen far enough, you will say, thank God for my intelligence. Thank God for the men God have surrounded me with. Thank God for the advantages I have. But I have seen that all of these things are temporal. And so even though I have these things, I refuse to depend on these things. If you come to that point of self-realization and you are willing to give up yourself and embrace God, it's called brokenness. That's why Paul said we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Paul spoke, men began to worship him, that this is a God. But that same man, with such level of wisdom and oratorial power, still said, I have no confidence in the flesh. He has seen far. Because a day will come when your walls can't bring you salvation. Paul entered the city, they stoned him to death. Imagine the contradiction of life. You came from one city, they called you a god. You entered the next city, you that they called a god, they stoned you to death. Imagine if he depended on his utterance. The utterance didn't work at that time. When he fell down, the Bible said the church surrounded him. He got up again with strength. That strength was not physical. That strength was divine. And the moment he got up, the man that was stoned to death, even if he's resuscitated, he should go to the hospital. He said, rise, let's go to the next city. That means what came upon the man was beyond human ability. I'm telling you today that all you call an advantage is a mirage. Because there's a problem that will defy it. The only way you can become invincible is to mobilize the power of the Spirit. And the first way to do it is a state of brokenness. David was a king. God frowned at him. And immediately he tore his clothes, laid on the floor naked, and was begging, take not thy spirit from within me. He said, for a contrite heart and a broken spirit thou shalt not despise. The man knew the secret that mobilizes the power of God. So when David is invincible, it's not because he has an advantage of kingship. Hope you know David had mighty men. One of them can take 800 soldiers. It's possible for David to say, Lord, you don't have to be so hard on me, and continue moving. He knew that even though I have one man who can take 800 men, my crisis is beyond men. The forces I contend with, they are beyond men. Somebody may be in the real estate business and he thinks it's about being smart, discovering land, buying land, do good trading. There's another person in that real estate business that works with demons. When he shows up, he doesn't talk. Demons talk on his behalf. And you may come and win the contract, but you may live with paralysis. Paralysis is not part of the equation. And because you know that all your natural abilities can only win you a contract, you need to depend on the one that beyond contract can preserve you from death and paralysis. This is what wise men know. That is why they never count their advantages. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5, Paul clearly outlined it. He outlined it clearly. He knew, I don't have any advantage in the flesh. I refuse to look at my fleshly advantages. Many people can't see the power of God because they depend too much on themselves. The lady wants to get married. She cannot see God. She can't. She thinks her beauty will give her the best husband. And then because she's so beautiful, she's looking at the man with the greatest muscle. The man with the six-pack. A day will come, if God doesn't lead you, that six-pack will become your greatest terror. Because the same hands that stands well in the suit, that hand can slap. It takes wisdom to know. So no matter what advantage we have, we know that our advantages apart from God can become a curse. And so we don't look at our advantage. When you arrive there, God will always answer for you. If you can get there, it's a journey in the spirit. But if you can get there, when I started ministry, I had a lot of utterance. If I come to a place and I start talking, after 5 minutes, everywhere is engulfed with fire. And so when I'm going for a meeting, I don't have time to pray. Sometimes I just come. And when I see that the people love wisdom, I will go poetic. Sometimes I will go scientific. I'll start invoking the laws of quantum mechanics. And when I, whether you like it or not, when I pull those strings, somewhere you will jump up. And the point came, they started inviting me to places where they don't understand English. The last journey I came from in Pakistan, even the interpreter is learning English language. And so I was forced to forget every mystery I knew. What I preached for 7 meetings was, "For God so loved the world." There was no time, because if you preach the mystery, nobody can interpret. I can come here and begin to talk about patterns of the heavenlies. I can talk about angelic order. I can talk about strategies of drawing from the spirit. Many things. If you use any complex English language there, the man will stop you and say, "What did you say?" The whole anointing will drain. And so in order not to be stopped in the middle of the meeting, all I was preaching was, "Jesus loves you. If you give your heart to Jesus today, you will receive eternal life. And if you receive eternal life, you will be delivered." When I finish preaching, I don't sense any anointing. And I will just say, "Lord, touch them." I say, "In the name of Jesus." The first night I came, I say, "In the name of Jesus." Because when I finished preaching the whole message, my spirit had not ascended. But it was in that valley that I knew what it means to depend. Depend. And when I say, "Jesus, oh my God," I saw that my ego and my utterances were limiting the Holy Spirit. Because when I use bogus words, men are excited. But now that I have decided to humble myself, the Holy Ghost came out as a star. He came out as a giant. He came out. In fact, the last night, I was rushing to catch my flight. My check-in time was 12 midnight. I was to take off 3:30 to Dubai and then to Nigeria. So I rushed to the crusade for 40 minutes. When I was done preaching for 30 minutes, as I said, "Jesus," the first testimony I heard was a witch here. They carried a witch here, an elderly woman that was paralyzed. They carried her. How did she stand up? I didn't sense any anointing. The anointing must not be on my head. It can enter the atmosphere. Because at this time, I didn't depend on myself. The Holy Ghost boycotted me. And he entered the atmosphere like a king. And what he was doing was searching the... Oh, man. The witch here went up. And immediately I saw it. I said, "My God, they that wait upon the Lord, they are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved." The next thing I said, "Jesus is the Son of God." Somebody ran out and said, "I was deaf for 2 years. You can hear." Another one came out. "I was blind. I didn't sense any anointing. I didn't preach anything special. But in the state of brokenness, I left my abilities. I left my natural advantage." And the Holy Ghost came out and said, "I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. You have depended on human connection. You have depended on other things. But you need to know that the powers that created the world, they are in the spirit. I am your advantage." This is why you don't have to be afraid. All you need to do is to rely on him. When you depend on him, you will see powers that you will not be able to mobilize by any other means in the universe. It's called brokenness. Ah! I wish Christians can understand this. And we will let go of all that we have built our life upon. He said we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. I don't know what you are going through, but there is a power that is waiting for you to show your wounds. It is when you show your wounds that that power is mobilized. And they will come and look upon you. Did you not read about Moses? He said, "I'm a stammerer." And he said, "Who created the mouth?" That you have a mouth at all is a sign that something miraculous is happening. Who created the mouth before you stammer? Nothing you call a disadvantage is a disadvantage. Your only disadvantage is that you have built your confidence on yourself. And a generation needs to rise that will forget about themselves and say, "Lord, where are you? Lord, I depend on you. Lord, you are the king. You are the master." And you will see what God will do with you. Some of you are singers. You have a good voice. That's beautiful. But a good voice can take you nowhere. It is the advantage of the spirit that moves men. Some of you are intercessors. You can kneel down and pray for 72 hours. But your pride has become in your prayer power. And when you come, you say, "I'm a prayer warrior." Many prayer warriors are gallant failures. Some of you are seers. Your pride is in the fact that you can see. If you are not careful, your ministry for 40 years will be family deliverance. They will mobilize you every day to go and deliver family. You will travel to Lagos to do VG. And when you finish in that family, they will send you back. And you will do it for 40 years. Meanwhile, you have the potential of seeing the future of nations, giving direction to territories and establishing the counsel of God. But before you started, you built your confidence on your sight, and your sight will become your weakness. If the Holy Ghost doesn't give you an advantage, you are gone. The second is sincerity. He said, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth, searching for those who are perfect in heart, that he may make strong his powers. When you find men who are cunning, they can never see the power of God, because they think they are wiser than the ancients. Meanwhile, their wisdom is only profitable in the realm of men. The people you are dealing with, the beings you are dealing with, some of them are demons. Some of them are fallen angels. They were there when the foundation of the earth was sculpted. And some of them were the ones that tormented your grandfathers. They tormented your father. And you come, you want to be wise. They know the decisions you make before you start. Because they know that Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob loved fair women. And so before you act smart, they have predicted all your moves. Because they know your bloodline. They know your lineage, and they know your tendencies and propensities. You cannot be cunning and expect God to walk. Because while you are talking, he's not only hearing what you are saying, he's also hearing what you are thinking. Many people are liars. They are fake. They come to God and tell God, Lord, if you give me this thing, I will return this to you. It's a lie. Even God knows their heart before they started. They thought God would be moved by their sentiment. And so they keep at it. Nothing happens. When God finds sincerity in the man's life, the powers of heaven are mobilized. The reason we don't see the power of God is because we are insincere, even with God. And it's a shame that men come before God and they are not sincere. The reason is because you have not known him. If you know his propensities, when you come before him, you'll be honest. And it is in your honesty that his power is activated. The more you try to be wise and smart before God, he will allow you to do it for 5 years. He said, to the crooked, I'll become crooked. Since you want to be smart, let's play this your game. He will be with you, and you will play the game for 10 years. Sometimes it's when you now notice gray hair. That's when you will become honest for the first time in your life. He will say, well, when you came to me in 1974, I knew you were lying. So I waited for you to come to this place. And since you decided to come in 2002, let's start from where we stopped in 1974. You want to see the authority of God, you must become honest with him. And not just with God, but with men. Many times the reason we are afraid, we feel if we don't cut corners, we'll be disadvantaged. Did you not know? He said the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. That thing you call an advantage is a disadvantage. Did you read the story of Joseph? Because of honesty, he was thrown into a pit. Because of honesty, he was driven from the only insurance he had in Potiphar's house. He was in the prison for 14 years. How can you be a stranger in a foreign land? And in a foreign land, you are in prison. And the God you decided to stand with forgot you. In Genesis 39 verse 9, he said, how can I do this evil and sin against God? You will expect that God will thunder from heaven and save him. God kept quiet for 14 years. But after 14 years, in Psalm 105 verse 17, he said, until the time that his word came. He said, the word of the Lord tried him. He said, the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. He gave him authority to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Potiphar, in 14 years, was not a senator in Egypt. So what you call the delay in prison was actually a highway to glory. Because if he remained in Potiphar's house, both him and Potiphar cannot be a senator. But a point came, by standing in truth, he became a commander of all the senators in Egypt. In fact, the king told him, you are answerable to no one except me and the throne. You are honest today, it takes you 2 steps backwards. What you are seeing is those 2 steps. You have not seen the hand of God. Because God allow you to take two steps backward. It's a momentum to fly. What you call two steps backward is an energy to take off. Because you don't need to walk into your destiny. Some of you, we need to fly. But God will wait for you to be honest. That your honesty, he took you backward. He broke a relationship. And it looks as if for 3 years you are not married. That guy is not qualified. 4 years later, the person God is preparing for you is finishing a program in the U.S. And it will take him 4 years to come. That's why God allowed this one to crumble. 4 years later, when God shows up, God will lift you from zero to hero. And then you are wondering, how shall these things be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Many Christians are quoting scriptures, but they don't know how to go forward. So while they are quoting scriptures, they are cutting corners. And they are messing up the possibilities of God in their life. You may not know 1,000 scriptures, but you may know what to do and go forward. One of it is integrity. The Bible said concerning Daniel, Daniel and his friends, Daniel 1 verse 8, refused to be defied by the portion of the king's meat. In Daniel chapter 5 verse 11, the record of this eunuch was said. And he said, there is a man in thy kingdom. He was no longer called a slave. He was no longer called a eunuch. He said, in him is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Light and understanding is in this man. An excellent spirit, such as can explain hard sentences. He said, in the days of thy father the king, he gave counsel. And it was like God. And Daniel instantly was made a governor in Babylon. What did he look like at first? At first, when he decided to stand true to his calling, it looked like he was going backward. But in the time that God ordained him, he moved from the back and came straight to the front. When God is insisting on upright living, it's because it's a channel for the power of God. Don't cut corners. It's natural for people to want to cut corners in Lagos because you need to survive. The city is in a rush. And so even Christians and Muslims alike are lying every day to go forward. Don't be a part of them. Be delayed momentarily for saying the truth, but wait on God. When the wind of the spirit comes, you will be shocked that the people that were lying in that context where you refuse to, God will lift you. What he will give you in 1 year will be bigger than what he will give you. Give those people in the 100 years. I remember a few years ago when I was teaching in a school, they told us to cut corners in WAEC. After teaching students for months, you have to come and collect WAEC paper and answer it and give to them. So that the proprietress will be happy and give you 5,000. And I said, no. I'm a pastor. We don't do that. She frowned at me for more than 2 weeks. And I had to eventually leave the school because the atmosphere became corrosive. But a few years down the line, I can buy that school. We needed to start something in January. The equipment B they gave me a loan was 35 million. In 5 months, we have bought all. What if I was in that school? I would have been marking YX script now. When they mark YX script, they pay them 25,000 naira. And sometimes you mark 600 papers. Both objective and essay, they will still probe it to ensure that you didn't make a mistake. Every time you cut corners, you slow down your life. You shut down your possibilities. There's an invincible finger that lifts men. But that finger will wait to see the integrity of your heart. Many people have no integrity. That's why we are dancing in church, quoting scriptures, but we are not going forward. A time has come for an army to rise. And one of the things we will have as badges in the spirit is a testimony of integrity. So that God can be assured to allow us the powers of the ages to come. We need women that can speak and governments will shut down. But where are such women? Is it the ones that commit fornication because of marriage? They cannot know the powers of the ages to come. We need men that can speak and the nation will stand still. But where are those men? Is it the ones that lie and manipulate figures to win a contract of 100 million? A nation is bigger than money. The authority required is built into integrity. You can't see through power if you are not sincere. Sincerity is the second thing that activates true power. I am telling you this, even people in ministry are liars, exaggerators, and manipulators. That's why they labor so hard, yet show so little. Because they can't mobilize sufficient power. You don't know the forces trying to manipulate your destiny. You cannot afford to cut corners. The road is narrow. The gate is straight. Only honest men can walk through. People are cutting corners already in secondary school, mentored into iniquity. How can they see the power of God? Our generation is bleeding. It's looking for men that can stand at the gate and say, restore. But when the prince is come, they find too many things in us. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh to me. He said, he findeth nothing. And so when I speak, my words are laws in the spirit realm. When you cut corners, you don't have authority in that realm. Because the realm where things are decided, the principalities that are there, they are legislative beings. They are not emotional beings. They deal with laws. And when you come to speak, even when you shout, open the gates, they will say, who is it? It's not just the gates don't leave because you say, lift up the gates. The gates don't leave because you announce that he's the King of Glory. That's why you can come in the name of the Lord and still fail. Because they will ask you, who is the Lord of hosts? Which entourage is talking? Who is the one making this proclamation? We don't respect men because they are men. We respect men because their characters have been verified in the spirit. That's why when he showed up, he knew Jesus was the Son of God. But he wanted to check the strength of his character. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you are the Son of God, jump down from this high mountain. He was checking the man, but there was nothing in him. When he was done testing and discovered this one is a rock, he had to leave him for a season. You can't see true power except as you stop trying to make impression and begin to think about impact. And the way to make impact is to become sincere in your journey in life. Most of us need to repent to see power. It's not about doctrinal error. Your doctrine is correct. Your revelation is sound. But your character is a lie. That's why with the right doctrine, with the right revelation, it looks as if what you are saying is a lie. You have to first of all prove the reality to yourself before the realm can respect you. There are too many liars and insincere men among us. That's why the power of God is not there. The third way to mobilize true power is reverence. The fear of the Lord. When you find a man who operates in real power, he fears God. God will check to make sure that you fear him. Because reverence for God is not fear. It's not a fear born out of intimidation. As the righteousness of God, we come to him with boldness. Reverence for God is a state of understanding of the essence of God, the glory and the majesty of God that makes you to bow and tremble at his command. There are many people today who are careless even in God's presence. In a service, they are chatting. In a service, they are misbehaving. Why service is going on? Can such a person fear God in his house? Even in the environment where we have allocated for God to be worshipped, you cannot get them to relate with God in fear. No respect, no regard. Can such a person command anything when he's alone? The reason our generation is bankrupt of power is because there's no reverence for God. We have taken God for granted. We are familiar with God's presence. And because we are too familiar, we cannot command the power of God. You stop receiving in the spirit when you become familiar. If you want to receive in the spirit, reverence is what creates the gradient. And if you don't have that reverence for God, you can never see the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not emotion. This is reality. There are times when we preach, people shout. But there are times when we preach, we need people to be sober. Think about these things and align their lives. Somebody is coming to church. He doesn't even remember an offering for God. And when they say offering, he checks and squeezes something out. But when he's going to see a governor, he prepares what he wants to give him in an excellent package. And he brings it with respect to the governor. But when he has to do with God, he's casual about it. And because he came to God and cried, he thinks that is something in the spirit. God said, when you give to your governor, will you give him a blind goat? Because when God is judging your reverence towards him, he's comparing it with how you treat every other authority around you. And what you cannot do before your governor, what you cannot do before your pastor, what you cannot do before your biological parents, if you dare do it before God, you are disqualified. In 1 Samuel 2:30, say, him that honor me, I will honor. Him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. That's why when we need God to come on the scene, God becomes far from us because we don't reverence him. And so we don't know who he is. If we know who he is, we will tremble at his presence. And if we begin to tremble at God's presence, before we speak, God will answer. While we are yet talking, he will appear. You want God to open a nation for you. If you know God is big enough to open a nation, will you relate with him the way you are relating? A being as powerful enough to open a nation. That prayer you are praying, you don't believe it. Because if you believe God is powerful enough to open a nation for you, your attitude around him will show that you know him that much and you believe that much. You want God to give you a contract that 200 people are vying for. You think God is that powerful? A God that is powerful to isolate you and give you something 200 people are competing for. Is that a God you pocket your hands before? Is that a God you walk up to casually? Is that a God you talk to when you are exhausted? No, you don't know that God. You were just trained to speak religiously. The day you know that God, before you pray, it will show in your relationship with him. You want to see true power, you must learn the way of reverence. Our generation is too casual in God's presence. Go and find out from the fathers that moved the heavens, and they will tell you how they related with God. Some of them, for 3 hours, they cannot even look up. They are still saying, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. They know the majesty of this God too much. That's why when they say one, the impact lasts for 100 years. Meanwhile, we are talking every day. The impact cannot even affect our immediate society. Whereas the people we are quoting today didn't say half as much as we said, but they know this God. And even God knows that they fear him. The day you become reverent towards God, that day you will see the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the jealousy of the Holy Ghost came to glorify God. Finally, what gives you true power is faith. Nothing moves God like faith. The moment a man can believe God, he has opened the door for the overflow of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in John 7, 38 and 39, he said, they that believe out of their bellies shall flow. That means faith activates the river of the Spirit. The moment faith is activated, the Holy Ghost begins to move. The Bible said, they that believe, these signs shall follow them. Mark 16, 17. And in verse 20, he said, as they went out, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. The sign that you believe is not that you talk it. The sign that you believe is that you act it out. There are too many people who are not acting out what God told them. If a governor told you today, don't worry, tomorrow you are fine, you will not be able to sleep. You will be too excited waiting for tomorrow. But if God tells you tomorrow it is where, you are still telling your neighbor, we are trusting God. We don't know, but it's where. I'm trying to compare these things with natural things so that you will understand where you are and stop being religious for a second. If the president of this country tells you, come and see me tomorrow, even though he has not promised you anything, your mind will be flooded with possibilities. Does he want to give me an appointment? I know I will not be the same again. He has not promised you anything. Maybe he just wants to ask you your name. But you don't care. The president says, I should come. First of all, you will tell all your friends. And if you don't have a good suit, you will go and buy a new one. You will make sure you are there 2 hours before the time. Because you don't want to hear that he came and didn't see you. But when God said to gather together, you are coming casually, not expecting anything. Meanwhile, he has said that upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. How come you walked into this place and you didn't come excitedly knowing that because I stepped here, I can't go back with my problem? How come? Because there's no faith. There's religious rituals, but there's no faith. The day faith comes, even if God did not remember you, you will provoke it out of him. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't know she was there. When she took from God, God turned and said, who touched me? It's not all the time God needs to call you to reach you. If you can activate faith, you can reach God even if you are not part of the plan. Time is gone. In the next 5 minutes, I want to stir something here.
Don't worry, sit down. Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed, Adonai. Adonai.